Amen. Lord, we give you the meeting this morning.
Amen.
We pray that you will open your word to us.
Amen.
We do need to know what is in your heart and to know what you're speaking to us today.
Amen.
Give us ears to hear.
Yeah.
Ear of the learned.
Amen.
And when we hear your word, may we not turn our back on you, but to learn to obey. Pray for every one of us and for your people. May you have mercy on all of us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Isaiah is a very practical book. You know, the more we read the Word of God, the more we realize that God's Word is not just doctrines and nice, wonderful messages for us. It's useless. If messages could have done the job after listening to 40 some years of messages, we would all have been made ready.
Yeah.
Right? We would all have been fully transformed and saved to the uttermost. But unfortunately, that was not the case. And if we still want to continue to go on that way, then we become hopeless. We become hopeless. Look at the speaking of the prophets in the scriptures. Look at Paul speaking. It's not just doctrine. Sometimes he spoke very serious word and dealt with every problem of the flesh. Right? We can speak nice messages, but when problem comes, we don't deal with it. Then what's the use? Right? So the Word of God must be very real and practical for His people. Otherwise, you can listen to so many messages, you can even know the Bible, even by heart, you can memorize, you can read. And at the end, it's of no avail. Right. So, this is why in chapter 58, God told Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, do not hold back, don't be afraid. That's why the prophets have to be courageous. Bold in a good way to speak the truth. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now you know what a trumpet is. You have a trumpet? Yeah, we all have a trumpet. That's why we need to keep the feast of the trumpet. This is a wonderful trumpet. Tell my people their transgression. You know, that's hard to do. That's very hard to do because we're all very nice. We're all very nice. Right? And this is our concept. A Christian must be a nice guy. Right? Look at Vince. He's a nice guy, right? We're all nice guys. Right? You like to be a nice guy, right? Yeah, of course. Me too. Right? But you cannot always be a nice guy. When time comes that you have to speak the truth, you have to speak the truth. You have to stand for the truth. You have to learn to say, no, this is not right. Right? Tell my people their transgression. If today we are doing that, like we said last night, everybody will run away. They won't come to the meeting anymore. That's why they cannot say and expose the transgression. In the past years, in the churches, you know what my experience was? If there's something wrong in the church, don't say it. Don't say anything and don't tell the young people. Don't talk about it. This is not what the Word of God says. How can our young people learn if we don't speak the truth? then you will help them repeat the mistakes and even make it worse. Right? No. No, the Lord in the scriptures never hid the sins of the fathers. Even David's sin was exposed. Even Noah's drinking was exposed. Adam's sin was exposed. The people's sin was exposed. Why? Paul says, for our learning. Right? Don't just read the positive things in the Bible and you don't read the mistakes of God's people. How can you and I learn? If we hush, hush, shh, shh, don't say anything. How can the next generation learn? And not only that, they cover up, they lie, and continue in their crooked ways. If this is what we are doing today, you cannot prepare for the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming soon, at the very end of Isaiah. Because God is talking about his coming. So, he told Isaiah to blow the trumpet. Not to talk about the Lord's coming, but to show their transgression. Because that's the way to prepare. Right? Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Right? Yet, verse 2, it says, they seek me daily. That means they seem to be seeking me daily. Outwardly, reading the Bible, praying, donating, right? Doing so many charitable works, crossing the sea to preach the gospel, building big meeting halls, doing a lot of activities. Right? Doing so many things outwardly, seemingly seeking me daily, here, having morning watch daily. What do you do after morning watch? And seemingly delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness outwardly. That's why the Lord says our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Otherwise, you cannot enter into the kingdom. Just to do something outwardly correct does not mean it's okay. And seemingly did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They even ask of me the ordinances of justice, but then after they ask, they go ahead and do the opposite thing. Just like you ask advice of this, advice of that, and you ask a lot of advice, but in your heart you already know what you want to do. Right? And then after you take my advice, you would go and do exactly what you like. Right? After I ask the Lord's advice, I turn around and just go ahead and do what I want. Then why ask the Lord's advice? They take delight in approaching God. Oh, we like to say, oh yeah, pray, turn to the Lord. Right. But then they were exposed. Then they even blame God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Well, you know, because their fasting is just fasting and nothing else. Why do you fast? If you don't change, you fast because you really want to deal with God concerning many things that is in you. Concerning many things that are bothering and either you or surrounding you. We fast and pray. That's why you have to fast and pray and talk to God about all these things. And for them, fast is just one day. And for many of us, it's one meal. Right? And what we want to do when we are fasting and praying is because we are so burdened for God's plan and God's purpose. Just like a professor who is so deeply involved in his work, he forgot to eat. He forgot his stomach. Stomach is not hungry. If you have nothing to do, you feel your hunger very often. Right? First thing you realize, oh, I'm hungry. But if you're very busy, you forget you're hungry. Are you busy with God's plan and God's purpose? And for God's work and for your spiritual growth and condition to be saved to the uttermost, to deal with the flesh and the self? We are so full of flesh. Don't think you're free. Right? To follow the Lord, what does the Lord say? You have to read the Bible. Go to Africa. You don't have to go to Africa. There are so many Africans there preaching the gospel. They do a better job than you. Right? Why have we fasted? And then they say, and you, God, you have not seen. Why? Was God sleeping? Because that is not the fast that God wanted to see. So why should he look at that kind of a fasting when it is fully against what he says and what he wants? Don't think God is obliged to see what you're doing. No. If I don't want to, if you're doing something that doesn't please me at all, I'll walk away. I'm not going to stay there and watch. You think God is obliged to watch what we are doing and get mad? Yeah. If I don't want to get mad, I'll just walk away. then I won't get mad. If I stay there and keep on watching, I might throw this glass of water in your face so that you'll wake up. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? Because it is just an outward afflicting your soul in that day of atonement. Just like on Sunday, we are all very religious, and then we go home, it's done, it's finished. Then we live our own lives. You think God is for that? God is not for that. What is the purpose of our getting together? To keep the feast just for 1 hour? You mean to say we keep the feast of the Lord just for 1 hour and go home and then we keep our feasts? We feast and nourish our flesh and our ego and our self and do whatever we want. And then Sunday we come to keep the feast of the Lord for 1 hour. How about that, John? You think the Lord appreciates that? Oh, at least they're keeping it for 1 hour a week. It became a routine. What do we just do outwardly? But there was no reality and substance inwardly. What is the use? And it is not only useless for God, let me tell you. Worse than that, it is useless for you. And me, it's not going to help you. It will boost your hypocrisy. And you would think that's good enough. And you remember the Lord only half an hour a week? What about the rest of the week? Do you remember him? Do this in remembrance of me for half an hour. How about that? How about that? You think the Lord is satisfied and happy? Oh, at least they remembered me for half an hour. Oh, what about the rest of the week? If this is the way we worship God, the Lord will not even attend that meeting, let me tell you. We're all here, but except Him. We're all here to do our return, our routine work, except Him. He is not there. Because He doesn't want to look at that. In fact, in the day of your fasting, outwardly you're fasting, but inwardly you're finding your own pleasure. You think, oh, at least I'm fulfilling my duty, right? At least I'm religious, I still love the Lord, I still come to the meeting. And then, but outwardly, you exploit all your laborers. Right? You treat others harshly. Right? It says you drive hard. Right? That's how you deal with others. So that means to fast and really pray and to afflict your soul means you truly repent. Lord, I did so many things that are not right. Forgive me and save me. Help me not to do that again. This is what it's for. If it's just a day of atonement and the rest of the year you're doing what you shouldn't be doing, that keeping of the day, the feast of the Day of Atonement, means nothing to you. If I just keep the feast of the Day of Atonement at the Lord's table for a few minutes, okay, with a few verses, and then after I go home, I don't afflict my soul anymore, I feed my soul life. Then why keep the feast of the Atonement? Indeed, you fast for strife and debate yourself. Is that why we fast? And to strike with a fist of wickedness. No change. You remain absolutely the same. But hey, you still fast because the Bible says fast and pray, right? Fast and pray, the Day of Atonement. Because if you don't do it, you're going to be cut off from the people. So let's do it and continue the fight after the Day of Atonement. You should not be fasting, right? As you do this day, right, to make your voice heard on high. In one sense, right, if you want to make your voice heard on high, don't fast in this way. The Lord is not going to hear you. Right? Is it then a fast that I have chosen? No. So you should fully understand what God wants. Don't think knowledge is not important. Yeah. Hosea says, my people is destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They don't want to know. You don't want to know. Okay, you don't want to know. Then you will do things that offend him, then. Let's read Hosea, right? Let's read Hosea after Daniel. Hosea. No, maybe I'll just read to you. Hosea. Chapter 4. Verse 6. Maybe you should all note that verse. It's a helpful verse. My people are destroyed. Maybe we can read it together if you're open to that verse, those who have it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. My goodness, this is serious. Of course, it's not just knowledge for the sake of knowing. But it is knowledge, the proper knowledge for the sake of doing the right thing that God wants. Right. So here in Isaiah, the Lord continued, is it a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Just a day? That's not what it's for. But hey, okay, that's what Leviticus says. That's what we'll do. We will afflict our soul one day. And then we'll do whatever my soul wants the rest of the year. Is it just to bow down your head like a bulrush? Like a, you know, to be so humble, look so humble when we are praying, everybody all of a sudden bow down. But when we are not praying, all of a sudden we are we raised up our high noses. But when we're praying, like a bulrush, it looks like Hollywood to me and to him, right? And to spread out sackcloth and ashes just as a show. And this is exactly what the Lord said concerning the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. Right. They put on a show for people to think that they are so holy and so spiritual and this and that and to put on a show. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it acceptable to him? You try to give such a message, people run away. I don't think this is a very popular message from the prophet Isaiah. No wonder he was cut into pieces at the end. No prophets were popular or was popular. None of them was popular. Still not popular. if you speak like what they are speaking, you won't be popular. To loose the bonds of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens. These are all the reality, the practices. These are all the substance, the reality of the Word of God. This is in what the New Testament says by Paul, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That you break every yoke. Don't tell other people what to do if you don't do it yourself. No, you have no right. Do it first. Right? That's what the Lord says. You expose the tiny little speck that is in my eye, but you're what? A plank in your own eyes. It's there. You don't see it. You don't remove it. But that's very strange. You got a plank in your eyes and you can see the speck in my eyes. Isn't that strange? Right, I need such thick glasses, but I can see your fault from afar. Pointing of the fingers, it says here, right? Verse 9, the pointing of the fingers and speaking wickedness. Right? It is sad. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? To feed, to really feed and nourish one another. Not just physical food, but spiritual, real, solid spiritual food. The Lord is the bread from heaven. Right? And when you enjoy the word and eat this wonderful bread, then you will have a desire to share this bread with others. In the New Testament age. And that you bring to your house the poor who are outcast. Right? Of course, don't bring all the homeless people into your apartment. This is not what it meant. But many who are truly mistreated, who are truly needy, right, who are wounded, the outcast. And when you see the naked, that you cover him instead of exposing, right, you cover. And not hide yourself from your own flesh when they are in need. And your own flesh, we mentioned last night already, from your own siblings. When the saints are in need, don't cast them away. Right? Then your light shall break forth. And not only that, of course you reread. It is important for us to see all these. Right? Because this is the true inward condition. The true inward condition. If you want to prepare for the Lord's coming, but you don't realize your inward sick condition, how are you going to prepare for the Lord's coming? You think you're all right. And that's precisely the problem. If I think I'm okay, I'm ready, the Lord can come any time. And that's what everybody is saying today. I'm all right, I'm a believer. I'm born again. All my sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord, he can come any time. Well, if you have this kind of a concept, how can you make yourself ready for the Lord's coming? You tell me. You think you're fine. I tell you, if you think you're fine, you will be fined. You know what I mean, right? They say Singapore is a fine city. It's a double sword. It's a two-edged sword. On one hand, it looks fine. But on the other hand, there's a lot of fine. You just throw a piece of paper on the floor, you'll be fined. And with a lot of money, you'll be emptying your wallet. So don't think you're fine. You have to remember, there are two meanings for this word, fine. Right. So praise the Lord. May the Lord really have mercy on us. It is not, and you have to realize, it is not what you do outwardly. And I don't mean that we shouldn't have any outward activities. We should. But if we only have these outward activities, we become a religious people doing outwardly everything right, but inwardly there is nothing there. And this is not acceptable to the Lord. And then the Lord continued to say here, verse in chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Of course not. The Lord is the Almighty God. But how come he doesn't hear us? And where is his help? Your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips, your tongue. My goodness, how many times have we really offended the Lord with our lips and our tongue? And with our thoughts. Of course, whatever comes out of the lips comes from. It must firstly be there, hidden in the heart. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. Verse 4, they trust in empty words and speak lies. Oh Lord, right. We need to be aware of this in our daily living. That's why we need to enjoy and experience Christ, right, as the sin offering, to be freed, to be set free. Right? And the trespass offering, to deal with it. Not just, oh, forgive me, Lord, and you walk away. No. No, no. No. You have to truly repent. You come, you know you're wrong, you repent, you turn and walk the opposite way now, the right way. But if you repent, says, Lord, forgive me, and you continue that way, you think the Lord is happy with that? Then why do you say sorry, I'm sorry, and then continue to do it? The repentant means you turn. You must turn. That's what you turn means. You turn. It's not just the you, letter you, to turn around, but it means you must turn around and go and head on the right direction. You're on the opposite way of Zion. You better turn around and take the way to Zion. Don't think you're right. Right. So here, oh Lord, they trust in empty words. You know, why would a person trust in an empty words, you tell me? Because this person is not looking for the reality. You're not looking for a substance. You just like to hear this and hear that and hear a nice message. Well, if I'm such a person, then you can tell me a nice story. I welcome you. I don't care whether what you said has substance or not. I don't care whether this is your reality or not. Or somebody's standing there giving a, I don't know what kind of a message. And you just say, well, it's scriptural, it's fine, it's good, it's wonderful, but it's empty words. So people speaking empty words to people trusting in empty words. Both empty. I don't know who is emptier, but oh Lord. Yeah. And they speak lies. And then they conceive evil. Ah, this is even worse. Conception needs some kind of a plotting, needs some kind of a time. Right, and you must plan it. You know, many of the things that happen, it does not happen overnight. There is always a time of conceiving, time of plotting and planning. And then when the time comes, it comes forth. This is what Isaiah is trying to say. And then it brings forth iniquity. Right? From the conception to the birth, it takes 9 days? 9 hours? No, it takes 9 months. And you need to keep on nourishing it. Right? None of this evil will happen overnight. No, it always begins a little bit and a little bit, and then it grows in you, and when the time is ripe, it comes out. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that. And they hatch viper's eggs. Oh, goodness. To hatch the eggs. Just like a hen. Any animals, right? Hatching. You have to put some heat on it. You have to sit on it. They're sitting on it. Firstly, they lay the eggs and they try to hatch it. Plotting, devising so many things. Oh, Lord Jesus, you think we Christians do not do that? Last night we mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, right? Concerning John the Baptist. Why did you come here, you? What? Brood of vipers. Where is the viper today? In our flesh. When that sin entered the flesh, Satan laid an egg in it. The viper laid an egg. And then he started to brood it. That is why the Lord himself became the form in the form of the flesh of sin. Only the form. Right, we are the little, our flesh here are the little vipers. So if we live according to the flesh, don't be surprised when a snake come out. Yeah, don't be surprised. Right, they hatch viper's eggs. And he who eats their eggs will what? Die. So, and these are in the spiritual sins. A lot of things that are flesh, that comes from the flesh, are eggs of the vipers. That's why Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh when it came out. My goodness, there's a whole lot of lists, a long list, including hatred, envy, strife. Even something worse, sinful evil things. And then even witchcrafts and sorceries. And then finally you have division and sedition and all kinds of strange doctrines and teachings coming out. And when people eat of that, you think they're going to live? They will die a spiritual death. And from that which is crushed, what breaks out? A viper breaks out. Yeah. Dangerous, dangerous. This is why don't touch it. If you see some viper's eggs, you better run away. Better run away. But people don't believe. They always say, oh, but I'll help, but you don't know what you're helping. You're helping to hatch the eggs. And if you crush it with your own flesh, you'll be bitten. A viper will come out. Right. And we have to learn. If there is something that's fleshly in the church, don't try to help according to yourself. Don't do that. Because when you crush it, what will come out? A viper. And who is the nearest person to that viper? You. Something all of a sudden jumps out and bites your neck. Goodness. And then they weave spider's web. Oh, Lord Jesus, they trap you. You know, don't think you can discern so well. Many times when I walk into the garden, all of a sudden I got caught by the web here, and I have to get rid of it, because you don't see it. So many times this is how the enemy will trap us. And many of the saints who have no spirit of discernment got caught in the web. And if you get caught in the whole web, it's very difficult to break loose. Right, etc. Well, I just thought I have to repeat this to all of us. Because according to Isaiah, this kind of a situation will be prevalent at the second coming of the Lord Jesus, just like at the first coming. Right. So at the very last section, talking about the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ, this section specially warned us concerning this kind of a situation. Right. Okay, I think let's have 10 minutes break. How about that?